Welcome to the Storytelling for Innovation podcast. I'm your host, Leanne Brennan, a freelance illustrator, motion designer, and now educator, here to give you a peek into what it's like to create visuals for human-centered design projects and how sometimes it requires a different approach than what we're used to. Let's dive in. Hi, everyone. So today I'm so excited to share my story with you. My background is that I grew up in Connecticut in a small little town, and my mom is a painter. So I grew up in her studio with a very traditional academic art background where we were painting and sculpting and looking up to artists like Rembrandt and Gustav Klimt. And for me, when I got older, I thought I wanted to be an illustrator. So I went to Rhode Island School of Design when I graduated high school, and originally thought I was going to be in the illustration department, but by chance I took this one class, Intro to Computer Animation, I think is what it was called, and I decided to switch my major to film animation video. And from there, I just grew a love for storytelling, for anything video, anything filmmaking. We did all sorts of fun stuff in school. I did like puppet animation, and I made these watercolor animations. I did lots of experimental stuff and just really fell in love with creating in this way where you could have movement and light and sound. And from there, I went to work. My first career job was at Harmonix. And I was so lucky to get in there when they were very small. And I started working there when they were developing Guitar Hero, which was very, very cool. And I was on the character team working on a different project. I was working on Karaoke Revolution Party at the time, and we were building the first character creator that would then be used in Rock Band. So that was very cool to be in on that. And I did a little bit of work on Guitar Hero, but not a lot. So anyway, that was my first experience with working in multidisciplinary teams and, you know, working with programmers and designers and testers and everyone kind of coming together for this common good of creating a game. And it was so exciting. And there was one guy that I met there who I think was the UI lead at the time. And I saw what he was doing with the kind of like screens in the venues inside Guitar Hero. And he was making all these really cool designs. And I asked him, like, what is this? What are you doing? And that's when I first actually heard the term motion design. I had never heard that phrase before. I just wasn't in that world. And it was in, I don't know, like 2005 or something. So motion design wasn't as big of a thing back then, I guess. I mean, it was still a thing, but not as big as it is now. And I just really was excited about that. So I ended up leaving Harmonix after a couple years because I wasn't really a gamer, and I saw kind of the trajectory of my career, and I wanted to get back into the storytelling piece. And I was really excited about explainer videos, really, and like telling a story where I had more control from start to finish. So that's when I started building my portfolio to apply for motion design jobs. And by chance, my roommate at the time was working at an innovation consultancy. And he asked me to make this animation for an award they had won. And their marketing team needed just this short little animation to explain what they had done on the project to win that award. And so we worked together and I made that. And, you know, word got around at the company that there was this like cool little animation. And they asked, you know, who did this? And from there, the design strategy lead saw what I had done and, you know, kind of was curious about, well, maybe we could use video here. Maybe we could use video more in what we do with our innovation clients. And so they ended up bringing me in as a 6-month experiment to see, you know, what could be done. And I originally started with the marketing department because they didn't really know what to do with me. So I was making little videos for marketing. But then eventually the design strategy team started to learn that there was somebody there who could do video. And my first project was actually for a pharmaceutical client who they had done all this research on enteral feeding, which is like tube feeding for people who, for a variety of reasons, cannot eat through their mouth. They have to have a tube directly into their stomach. And it was like really intense, a lot of really emotional footage of the customer and the caretakers of the customer, the people who were experiencing, you know, eating in this way. And it was this very raw emotional footage that I ended up cutting together. And one of the design strategists on the team had made a couple infographics. So I animated those with like a little intro and explaining some of the concepts that I had come up with to solve for this problem, which was basically that, you know, the caretakers felt that it was really depressing, really, to feed just one flavor. They weren't even calling it flavors, I think. It was just this one type of food to give the people they were taking care of, to have this one type of food go into the tube. And so they ended up solving for that by creating all these different flavors like strawberry, vanilla. And even though the person receiving the tube feeding couldn't taste those flavors, it was just such a beautiful emotional solution for both the caretaker and the person on the receiving end to feel like, wow, you know, like I'm still a part of the eating experience. And, you know, the video we cut together with, you know, how people felt in the beginning, and then once they were shown the prototype ideas of the possible solution, how they felt about it, it was really powerful. And the client saw that. And it really, you know, moved them and convinced them like, wow, this is a really powerful concept. And it's based on what our customers are experiencing. So that's when I really learned like, wow, video is such a valuable tool to help the client understand what the customer is going through. And that's when I really started to understand, okay, what this whole innovation thing was, what they were doing in this consultancy is really helping companies understand their customer and serve them better. And, you know, that gets back to the whole human-centered design term that you might hear, or experience design or user experience design. Human-centered design is kind of like the big umbrella term for what this is, and then it fits inside of the innovation industry, if you will. And then within human-centered design, there's like customer experience, user experience, you know, UI. It kind of gets narrower and narrower as you go in. But human-centered design is really this philosophy about, you know, like how can we look at the customer first, like learn what are their values, what are their struggles, what are they going through, what is their day like? And it's all based on research. And then they come up with ideas. And a lot of times companies will, you know, see that they're losing money or their investors aren't happy. And they'll say, oh my gosh, we have to change something. We have to do something. We have to come up with ideas. And they just jump to solutions. But innovation really says, and human-centered design says, like, hey, let's just look at the problem first. Like, we don't even know what problem we're solving for yet. Let's find that out. And then we can come up with solutions that are really going to speak to your customers. So that's when I really learned, like, wow, okay, this is really exciting. And that was my entry point into the innovation world. But what's really interesting is that after my first year of working there, I eventually started working full time. I realized after a couple bad experiences that I needed to change my process because they had a different process for working. They didn't follow the typical motion design pipeline where, you know, like you align on the message, you create a script, you lock the script, you create the assets, like all that. It was like, yes, that process was in place and I encouraged clients to do that. And I still do, but I realized I needed to change my style and pare it back a lot because they were iterating their ideas while I was creating the videos. And that's what I didn't realize. And I had one really bad experience where I had, I think, 6 videos that I was doing. They were, I think, 2-minute or so animations with some pretty complicated 2D character animation and effects and all this stuff. And I was super proud of how it looked. It looked beautiful. And the story was tight and everything was great. And near the end of the project, the team came to me and said, oh, you know, we just had this meeting with the client and we've been learning a lot about the customer and our ideas that we've been testing, and we needed to change a bunch of scenes in these videos. And the videos were almost done and I was out of time. I looked at them and, you know, I was so young in the company that I said, okay, but that was a lot of late nights. I think I pulled a lot of a lot of all-nighters to finish the requests for the changes because they were big overhauls on a lot of scenes within a lot of videos. And I even was calling, I remember calling my friends at the company and saying, hey, do you have After Effects on your computer? Can I like log in and render these scenes? I had like a makeshift render farm going so that I could finish in time because the team was in London or something and I needed to send them the files by a certain time. It was crazy. So at that point, after that bad experience, I said, okay, I need to pare back the style. I need to make a style that is less complicated. Like these animations don't have to be so precious, so fancy, so glossy. We're not making a commercial here. Like this is about just telling the story and connecting the client with the customer. It doesn't really matter what it looks like. Like, yes, it has to look good, but you know, it doesn't have to be such a high level of fidelity. And that will allow for those changes. Like that will allow for my teams that I'm working with to feel like they can do their job and not feel like bogged down by the motion design process. And that was really liberating when we all kind of figured that out together. And from that point on, you know, creating videos for these design strategists or the other teams, it became really fun. It became something they looked forward to because there wasn't that tension on both sides of like, oh my gosh, this is going to be crazy. This is going to be complicated. Like I got so good at it that I would just have a meeting. I would have them tell me their ideas. I would, you know, say, okay, do we have any meetings coming up? What's the time frame, you know, how involved is the client? I had like this questionnaire that I would run. And based on that, I would recommend a style. You know, if it was a short deadline and it was, you know, a client that had a lot of engagement, I would recommend a really simple style, but it would still be compelling. It would still be a great story, a great experience that they could then take to a presentation and, you know, play that video to get people excited, to get them connected with the customer so that they could then go into their 100-page PowerPoint presentation and go deeper on those topics. And what that does for them when they have those videos is it really sets them up for success to explain their ideas because they have that big sweeping, like broad brushstroke of, okay, this is what it is. This is the answer. And there's music and there's movement and it's fun to watch. And then, you know, and they get connected with the feelings of what these customers are going through. So yeah, it's just a different way of working. And when I realized that, that was just a huge mindset shift for me. And it opened everything up. So after working for about 6 years at that innovation consultancy, I actually decided to go freelance because I had my first child. So I now have two children. At the time, I had my daughter. She was about 7 months, and I decided, you know what, I need to be home with her. So I started my freelance career, and I had, because I had worked at that innovation consultancy, I had a lot of connections with people who had, you know, gone to other companies, or, you know, I had that knowledge of like, okay, who would be the type of person to hire me? Oh, it would be a design strategist. It would be a customer experience designer. Like I knew what to look for because I had kind of niched myself into this really cool place that not a lot of motion designers or illustrators knew about, which is really serving this very specific industry, the innovation industry. And, you know, I had work from the moment I started freelancing because not a lot of people understand that they have a different process and they don't necessarily play by our rules. And if we can figure that out and accept it and kind of rally around it and say, okay, well, I'm going to kind of mold my process to fit yours and let's see how we can work together. It's just a really fun way to work. So my mission here with this podcast is to share everything that I've learned. You know, I've gathered so much experience working on so many different projects. And, you know, when you hear the word innovation, you might think of, you know, inventions like, oh, it's going to have to be a smartphone or it's going to have to be some wild invention. But it's really not. Everybody is innovating because innovation really just means problem solving. And problem solving is happening happening in every single industry, from like financial services to healthcare to the hospitality industry. You know, you might think like, how could health insurance be innovating? But they are. They have teams inside their companies that are dedicated to customer experience or user experience or whatever they call it. They have design strategists. They have people working to understand what their customers are going through and to solve for that, to create products and services that meet those needs. And they often need storytellers to explain these ideas to get the green light to then go on to the next phase of the project. And that's where we can come in, especially as freelancers, because a lot of times these companies will have storytellers inside of their company that are, you know, a service within the company that can do this. But those people are often over-resourced because it's such a great thing to have someone who can do video. They're often, you know, splitting their time between marketing, and sometimes they just won't be available. And if these companies knew that there was a freelancer that could do this, it's just so valuable to be that person that can plug in, that already knows their process, to create some quick videos for a presentation or for something that they need, an exhibition. You know, there's so many different reasons why they would need a visual storyteller, and we can be that person. And it's a really fun way to freelance. So anyway, my mission with this podcast is to share my experience, teach a little bit on what I've learned and how you can do this too. If you're an illustrator, a motion designer, a filmmaker, you know, there's so many ways to flex your creative muscles here and to use your skill set. There's no right way to do this. And there's so many different needs. It doesn't necessarily have to look like the style that I do. You know, it could be your own flavor of what you do. Or you could have one part of storytelling that you're really good at, like writing, and then you have your own collection of freelancers that do the illustration or the animation. You know, there's a lot of different ways to do this work. So I want to share what I've learned with you, but I also want to bring in other storytellers who are working within the innovation industry. I want to bring in experts who would be the type of people that would hire us, you know, design strategists, project managers, people that are working within human-centered design teams that might be the type of people that say, oh my gosh, a set of videos would be so great for this project. I want to bring those people in to explain what they need from us and, you know, how we can meet them where they're at and serve this really exciting world of innovation. So thank you so much for joining me. And, you know, we've got a lot of great episodes coming up. So make sure that you subscribe, and I'll see you in the next episode.